Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Hope everybody is getting more connected with God this season as we fast and pray. I've been asking the Lord, you know, Lord, in this season of fasting and praying, all right, 1 week already, this week is when it gets tougher, lah. First week normally, you know, got okay on, lah. So I've been asking God, you know, how to pray. You know, what are some of the difficult prayers to pray? I actually asked this question. You know, you ask how to pray. I mean, it's in the Bible, right? Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, your kingdom come, and so on and so forth. And as I thought about that, I thought, God, you know, what are some of the areas of prayer that we struggle with daily? I mean, we say that we should be praying, we should be, you know, communicating with God and just, you know, building this relationship through prayer. And I asked myself, and I asked God this question, Lord, what are some of the areas, the difficult areas of prayer that we face that we need to overcome? And the Lord led me to this passage. In fact, He led me to, first of all, you know, the Lord's Prayer, the part where it says, your will be done. Okay? On earth as it is in heaven, right? God's will be done. And then, I mean, if we have been Christians for a long time, we pray that prayer so many times, you know, Father, let your will be done. I look at this situation, Lord, let your will be done. And then the Lord led me a little further, and that's where I want us to focus on today. And this is Jesus himself. He's praying this prayer. Okay? He's, you know, the earlier part where, you know, we see Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. But here, he's at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he himself prays a similar prayer. All right? But we'll read from verse 36 onwards, Matthew 26. 36, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him and began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Now, we pause there for a moment. I asked the Lord, Lord, has there been a point in my life where I have been overwhelmed, you know, just don't know why is it, this burden, you know. And I told the Lord, Lord, don't give me full force, okay? Just help me feel, taste a bit. What it means, I cannot tahan, honest. Taste a bit what it means to feel the weight of prayer. Okay. And so, yesterday, today, I was like, don't know how to pray, you know. Okay. That's when you really need the Spirit. And that's when the Bible says, you know, it's times like that when you don't know how to pray. The Spirit helps us to pray, all right, in utterances that we cannot understand, you know, in tongues. You read on. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, and this is his prayer, right? My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. Then he came back He again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayal." And so here's the story of Jesus in the garden. He is in intense, you know, sorrow. All right, the Bible tells us. And he prays this prayer, "Father, if it is possible." Many times I read this passage and I don't know about you, my focus goes to the disciples. Cannot tahan. You know, these disciples who are there and they are tired. The Bible tells us their eyes are heavy. So, excusable, right? I mean, all of us have been to the point whereby, you know, you want to stay awake but cannot stay awake. Especially when you are in school and you're lazy and you don't study until the last minute. You know what I'm talking about, right? And then you want to stay awake, but cannot. The eyes are heavy. You know, and this was the situation with the disciples. I mean, they've been traveling, they're tired, the eyes were heavy, cannot stay awake. Sometimes you all sit in church sermon time also like that. Eyes heavy. Okay, pastor preaching cannot stay awake. It automatically shuts down. And this was what happens to them. And then Jesus comes and he rebukes them. You know, he rebukes them and he says, "Hey, come on. You know, could you men not keep watch with me 1 hour?" Now, the prayer of the Lord is recorded one sentence only. "Father, if it possible, let this cup." But he was there for 1 hour, you know. The Bible doesn't record what else he prayed. Maybe he just prayed this prayer. Maybe, you know, there was this whole weight on him. And this is my guess. There's this whole weight on him that sometimes got no words. But Jesus is there 1 hour. He's praying. You know, we don't really know, you know, what were the words that he uttered except for this one sentence. Right? And then he comes back and he says, "Hey, could you not keep watch with me 1 hour. Watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation." Now, a lot of times I look at this passage, it says, hey, these guys didn't fall into temptation, they fell into sleep. They fell asleep, you know. But it is a springboard, it is a reminder that, you know, whenever we decide to choose to say, "I'll take the convenient road. Alright, I choose to let myself and the desires of my body take over," the potential of falling into temptation is very, very high. And that's why Jesus said, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." The Spirit is willing, but here the problem is with the body. The body is weak. And I believe that this is not just your physical body. It's the mind that comes to play. How do we then train our mind to keep going, to keep praying, to keep watch for 1 hour or more? Very often I ask, and you know, this last couple of days this week, I've been asking also, you know, how did Jesus feel? The Bible doesn't tell us. You know, Jesus comes back. You know, the weight of the world is going to come down on him, right? And he knows what he's going through. He goes and prays, and the people that he's closest with for the last 3.5 years, the people that he's closest with, he gathers them together and he picks 3, the closest among the 12, to go a little further with him to pray. And then he comes back with the weight of the world on him, you know, in agony and anguish because of what is going to happen. And these guys are snoring away. And then he goes, wakes them up and says, hey, get your act together, man. It's not only about me, you know. Get your act together. And he goes off, he prays, he comes back. And then they're snoring. Now the second time, right, I said, Lord, help me understand. I pray that we would, you know, seek to understand that. The second time he comes back, he doesn't wake them up anymore, you know. He goes off and prays some more, you know. I guess we will never fully understand how Jesus felt. Disappointed, maybe. Hey, cannot keep watching me. The third time he comes and says, okay, time to go already. And now, assuming that he goes off to, every time he goes off, he prays for 1 hour, right? You know. So this guy's been sleeping 3 hours already. Okay. or close to that. He goes off 1 hour, he comes back. Don't know how long he tried to stay awake. Comes back, they fell asleep. He wakes them up, he goes off again, you know. So at least 2 hours or so. This guy's been snoring. And he comes back and says, come on, let's go. It doesn't address the issue of, you know, staying up, keep watch and pray anymore. He says, come on, let's go. You're still sleeping. Hey, look, time has come. And I ask myself, Lord, and I pray this prayer, Lord, please, forbid it, that I would be caught sleeping when the time has come. He says, are you still sleeping and resting? Look. Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near that the Son of Man is betrayed. Now's the time. The time has already come. Look. The first thing I'd like us to think about as we enter into a season of prayer is to put ourselves in the disciples' feet. And, you know, what will happen if Jesus comes to us and says, hey, wake up, you're still sleeping and resting. You know, and obviously I'm not talking about, you know, physically sleeping. It's what are we doing in relation to what is happening around us? Jesus gets his disciples, he gears them up for his death, you know. He gears them up for this whole purpose of why he came to earth. And they're not with him. They're not with him at the point whereby he is, you know, in anguish and they're with themselves. And I pray that for us as individuals, for us as a church, whenever Jesus comes and says, you know, son, daughter, calls our name, he will not have to say, you're still sleeping. In fact, it's interesting that Jesus says, are you still sleeping and resting? You know, sometimes we say, no, not sleeping. Yeah. And this is true with our kids as well. We ask them to sleep. They don't want to sleep. You know, they want to rest. Because I don't know whether it's an excuse or let's go take afternoon nap because tonight is going to be a long night. Yeah. Go sleep. No, I don't want to sleep. I just want to rest. You know, sometimes we give excuses. Not sleeping. Just resting. How many of us said that? Not sleeping, just resting. No, actually, I wasn't doing this. I was just, you know, taking life a little bit easier. But Jesus comes and says, are you sleeping and resting? Look, the time has come. So the first thing, the first challenge to us is for us to be on guard. This is, you know, in this season of prayer and fasting right now, what are the areas which God is challenging us toward in terms of what He's doing in our midst. If God is moving in a certain direction, if God is teaching us certain things, if God is showing us certain things, then we better be up and awake and alert and praying and, you know, be involved in what He's doing. Let us not be caught sleeping or resting. Let's go back to the Lord's Prayer. Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but your will. In contrast with the disciples, Jesus placed God's will above His own. The disciples placed their will, their body, their tiredness. And Jesus said, if it is possible. It's interesting. Flip with me to the parallel passage in Mark. Verse 36. You know, Jesus says this. Verse 36, He says, everything is possible for you. Did I give you the chapter? Sorry, chapter 14. Mark 14, verse 36. Our Father, He said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. You know, Mark records it gives us a whole new picture, you know. Matthew says, if it is possible, right? Obviously, with God, all things are possible. Amen. Right? Jesus even comes to the Father and He prays this. Everything is possible with you. Almost to the point, sometimes we say that, you know, I don't know whether you catch yourself saying this, are guilty, lah. You know, I know I said it before, lah. I say, God, I know this is possible with you. You know, just do it. Almost like we come to God and twist God's arm and says, God, you know this is possible, right? You know, you can do it. So, just do it. For me, Jesus says this, Father, everything is possible with you. And then He goes on to say, take this cup away from me. A lot of times, our prayer, if we are honest with ourselves, ends there. Father, everything is possible with you, so take this cup away from me. Full stop. Amen. And then the next day, when nothing happens, we say the same prayer again. As if coming to twist God's arm. But Jesus goes on to say, not my will, but yours be done. You know, this is me. This is my human flesh. And this is, you know, I don't really want to go through this. I don't really want to go through, although I know I have to, I don't really want to go through this. But I will. I choose your will, not my will. If it is my will, then, you know, that's it, lah. Take this cup away from me. Even if you don't take it away, I put in front of me also, I won't drink. That's what our human nature will do. You know, God puts His cup. He says, no. You push it away, right? Not my will, but yours be done. And so the second thing I like us to think about, not only pressing in, not only, you know, may we be not found sleeping and resting and supporting what God is doing, but to really think deep and look at ourselves and say, how often, how much I believe that this is one of the, if not the, most difficult prayer to pray. Not my will, but your will be done. And sometimes as we look at our lives, we, again, guilty of trying to say that, well, this is good for everybody, right? So it should be your will. This is a good thing that I'm doing, right? So it should be your will. We even pray prayers like that, right? But Jesus was very straight to the point and said, this is me, but I choose you. This is myself, but I choose God's will. Definitely it is possible, but I choose to submit. Remember Genesis chapter 22. We won't go into it, but you know, let me just relate the story. Most of you know this story. God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go sacrifice your son. Right? Your one and only son. Your son that you love. Okay? And go and sacrifice. And so, he takes a journey, hikes up Mount Moriah, and he goes all the way, 3-day journey. And then, God stops him at the point whereby he's about to kill his son. He takes the firewood, he takes the fire, he goes up, he builds an altar, you know, ties his son up. Okay. Now, can you imagine the agony that he went through? I don't know about the son, you know. I don't know why he never struggled. The Bible doesn't say, But can you imagine the agony of Abraham at that point? Because it is not, you know, something that happened very quickly, you know. All right, if it's quick, then easy, get it done with, But he's there, he builds an altar. He travels, even before that happens, you know, he travels for 3.5 days, you know, he's bearing this burden, this agony for 3.5 days. He goes up at that point, it's like, God, take this cup away from me, you know. It's almost like that, stop me now. Doesn't happen. Builds an altar. In fact, on the way up, the son asks him, you know, we've got everything, right? Where's the sacrifice? You know, God will provide, don't worry. How do you say that? God will provide, you're it, you know. But he goes, right? Don't worry, God will provide. Faith comes out of his mouth, but I believe deep down, he walks up, builds the altar, lays the firewood. Nothing happened. Your will be done, right? Ties his son up. Nothing happens. Place him on the altar. Maybe by that time, I don't know whether you want, if you were there, if I were there, you were there, you want to get it done with, you know, do quickly or do slowly. Don't know. Both were so agonizing. Lays his son on the altar. For those 3 days and those very long hours up on the hill, on the mountain, right? What was he doing? What was Abraham doing? He was saying, your will. But it begins with a sacrifice, you know. And it's not just a literal sacrifice, your son. It's a giving up of something that is way, way, I would say, bigger than that. Because God comes to Abraham and God tells Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. And he gives him this promise. And he says that, you know, your descendants will be as vast as the, you know, as numerous as the stars in the sky. One son, only son. What was God asking Abraham to do? He was asking Abraham to surrender his future. He was asking Abraham to sacrifice everything that is ahead. Everything that he can see right now for what is ahead, God said, give it up. Sacrifice your future. See, if you look at it from that perspective, it's not just, you know, my one and only son, my son that I love, you know. But it goes way beyond that. It goes, you know, this is my promise. This is the future that you promise. You are God, huh? This is the future that God, you promise me. You ask me to give it up. And so the second thing that we need to think about is God versus self. If God gives us something, even a promise, and then God says, this is my will for you. Right now, at this point, give up that promise. Are we willing to say, yes, God, your will be done. This is a burden that I'm carrying. I don't want to carry it, but your will be done. Romans chapter 12. I think this one we read. Huh? We all know this scripture. We've thought about it. We read it numerous times. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Says this, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Jesus came to his disciples and says, hey, wake up. What's this? Watch and pray. All right, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Your bodies are weak. And so Romans comes and, Paul addressed the Romans and he says, you know, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer what? Your bodies as living sacrifices. Sacrifice your bodies, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Right? And he goes on to say, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, because the world will tell you sleep first. Rest first. The world will tell you self. In fact, you listen to, you know, what the world is saying right now. If you ask the world, what should I do in this situation? The answer will be, what's best for you? If you ask the world, what should I do in different circumstances? I don't know what to do. They will say this, follow your heart. What's that? Self. That's what the world will tell us to do. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where it begins. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. You will be able to test and approve. Some versions say you will be able to prove what God's will is. When we are submitted to God's will, when we don't conform to the pattern of this world, when we don't look at ourselves, then we're going to say, this is what God's will is. And I have a personal testimony, personal proof that this is what it is. Abraham experienced that. He surrendered everything. He surrendered his future. He pulls out his knife, ready to plunge, kill his son. And a voice calls out to him, stop, stop, stop. Now I know. And then he sees a ram, right? Sacrifices the ram instead. Now I know. Now it is proven that you are ready, willing, to sacrifice, that you're ready, you're willing, you're submitted to God's will. Now I know. As I thought about that, I asked myself, and perhaps we need to ask ourselves, all of us,
How ready are we? To what extent do we go to say, I know for sure this is God's will proven? Because a lot of times, this is what happens to us. God's will is for me to sacrifice my son. Full stop. Nothing happens. And then we struggle with that. We struggle with wanting to do God's will and, you know, letting self take control. And I'm glad that Ken mentioned earlier, you know, you can't serve two masters, right? There's always this tussle. And there's also this tussle between God's will and my will. God's will, my will. And this fight that is constantly going on. Do we come to the point whereby we can say proven in our life? Why? Because we are totally submitted to God's will. In this season of fasting and prayer, I've been asking, Lord, what is the most difficult prayer to pray? I asked this question. The Lord led me to this passage. Okay, I'm not sure whether this is the most difficult. Probably, you know, maybe most one of the most difficult, maybe most difficult for me. Maybe for a lot of us as well. If it is possible. Of course it's possible. But the second part is the most important one. Not my will, but yours be done. And then, to see it through so that we can walk away and say, this is proof that it's God's will. A lot of times we know what God's will is, but we don't see it through. And we get caught in this tussle, and after a while, you don't see it through, you don't want to see it through anymore. You forget it because self takes over. And self is very good. Okay. Self will help you to rationalize why you need to ignore God's will. Self will look at the world around and say, well, this is this and that is that, and you know, this is what you should do, and forget about God's will. And so my challenge for us today is this. Just two things. Number one, are we caught sleeping? Are we sleeping or resting or, you know, when God is doing something in our midst? Not even aware of it. Number two, if we are aware, if we know what's happening, can we, dare we, come to the point to say, you know, we are in touch with ourselves, yes. You know, these are some of the things that I don't want to go through. But not my will, but yours be done. And then to follow through, to see it being done. I want to close with a quote from Miriam Booth. Miriam Booth is the daughter of the founder of Salvation Army. And she said this, it is wonderful to do the Lord's work. It is wonderful to do the Lord's work, but it is greater still to do the Lord's will. It is wonderful to do the Lord's work, but it is greater still to do the Lord's will. In CG on Friday, we were asking ourselves, what would you do if you have all the power in the world? And what would you do to glorify God if you had all the power in the world? I mean, we struggle with that a bit, ask a little bit of questions, you know. And, you know, as I was thinking about that, I said, well, if I had all the power in the world, I don't know whether I'll be corrupt or not. Because self, it's so easy for self to just, boom, take over. So we have to constantly dig deep into our lives and say, Lord, teach me to be in the center of your will. How do we glorify the Lord? We asked this question. We ended CG by asking this question. What does it mean to glorify God? You know, how do we glorify God? I believe if we want to glorify God, we need to first of all ask this question, what is God's will for my life? And to be in the center of God's will. To be in the center of God's will. Jesus, when he came down to this earth, he was in the center of the will of the Father. He even said this, I don't do anything except what my Father tells me to do. Timing is everything. Not only just working, not only just doing it, but doing it at the right time. He was in the center of God's will. And for us, it's great to do God's work, right? Miriam Booth said this, right? It's great. It's wonderful. But greater still, to do His will. Father, I pray for each one of us here right now. I ask, Lord, that you search deep into our hearts. That you will know, Lord, that we would be, first of all, honest with ourselves as you speak and minister to us. We will be honest with ourselves and say, yes, Lord, this is what I'm going through right now. Yes, Lord, I don't really like what I'm going through right now. I struggle with it sometimes. Father, we pray, God, we pray that, Lord, you would not find us, that you would not catch us sleeping. But on top of that, Lord, that we would be submitted to your will, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, these are difficult words to pray. We have to be honest and say, these are difficult words to pray. Because self very often just jumps up and wants to take over. And so, Father, this evening we want to surrender ourselves to you. We want to lay ourselves at the altar. We want to say, Lord, we want to sacrifice ourselves. And we want to establish your will in our lives. Teach us how to do that, Lord. Lord, when we are weak, we know that it is you, your Spirit gives us strength. And so, Father, we look to you for strength. We look to you for strength to say, your will be done. We look to you for strength to say, Lord, we will watch and pray. We will stay awake. We will be sensitive to what you are doing in our midst. We will know and we will respond to it. So teach us right now, we pray. For each and every one of us. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.